Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a family plagued with alcoholism rob a person of fulfilling his or her potential? How powerful are a sister's prayers? Timothy Correa missed opportunities of a career in music, but that was only the beginning. His life includes many turning points, including a moment in 1994 in Anaheim, California. There are moments in each of our lives, aren't there, when we consider them to be change moments, turning points in life. Well, today we talk about a turning point in life for Tim as he describes his story that impacted his relationship with God. And we believe today will be a turning point for you and your relationship with God. For you, dear friend, to know that God loves you and He knows you. And that God is a God of destiny. He has created you for a purpose. And you can know that purpose. You can live in that purpose through Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus who loves you so much, dear one. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, as the scripture says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, for you, dear one. Will you open your heart to Christ? Would you receive Him as your Savior and Lord? That is our prayer. That's our hope. Tim Correa and I are here today to serve you in that way. Tim Correa is married to Rose Marie. Tim, welcome to our show.
Oh, Danny, so happy to be here. I'm honored to be part of this. I really feel honored. Thank you for inviting me to come on your show, Danny.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Hawaii. I was born in Kalihi Valley, up in the mountains there. And I'd say that I was the last generation that's seen Hawaii in its original state. As a boy, I ran through the forest, and I ate the fruit off the trees, and I swung from the vines, and we just played in the valley up there, and that's where I was born and raised and enjoyed my childhood.
Tim, what are some of the fruits you remember eating as a child?
Just oh, we
picking
had
them
some
off the trees.
Mountain apple. We had some popolo, that's a little black berry, and rose apples, and panini, which is a porcupine fruit, five finger, and it was great. It had all kinds of stuff up there in the mountain.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sounds like an enchanted childhood.
Yes, it was. It really was. And I was the youngest of 11 children, you know. Naturally,
who influenced you most, Tim, in your growing up years?
And what's that, sir?
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I got a hard of hearing. Can you speak a little louder?
Yeah. No problem.
Who influenced me most?
Yes.
Well, I had a brother-in-law named Don Quillo, and when I was the late 40s. He gave me a little model airplane engine, and he knew that I loved the airplanes. And that really, really got to me. And all of my life, he was the man that influenced me the most. He retired as a lieutenant colonel from the Army, And he always, always treated me like he loved me, you know. It was really cool.
Okay, well, I know we're going to come back and we're going to talk about your brother-in-law in a moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How did you become a Christian, Tim?
Well, I was raised Catholic. And, you know, my mom and family would go to the Catholic Church every Sunday. And, you know, and all through my life, I went through a time that I didn't go to church at all. But when I got saved in 1994 at a Promise Keepers convention in Anaheim, California, which was my brother-in-law, Don, that called me, invited me to that. And that was an awesome, awesome thing, Danny. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I was hearing. I was hearing men, 55,000 men, singing, holy, holy, holy. And the stadium would just rock. I mean, it was so awesome. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then they had an altar call. And I said, my brother-in-law said, hey, Tim, let's go down to the infield, you know. And I said, well, I didn't come all the way from Hawaii for nothing. I'll go down with you, you know. It's like, and I went down there, and I believe it was Greg Laurie that did the altar call, either him or E.B. Hill, one of the two. And when you went through the gate to get into the infield, they gave you a little green booklet, and it was the book of John. And in the book, there's the sinner's prayer in there and a place where you signed it, okay? So they read the sinner's prayer, and then my brother-in-law, Don, said, hey, Tim, you know, why don't we just find this thing, you know? And I thought nothing of it. I said, okay, so I find it. And we went through 2 days of seminars of talking, of singing, and praising God. I seen guys hugging each other, crying on each other's shoulders, confessing to each other, and just, it was so awesome. It was unbelievable. I didn't even hear what was being said. I was more interested in what was going on around me. Well, the conference got over, and we went back to my brother-in-law's house. And the next morning when I got up, I remembered almost everything that was said. And the Lord just took me, and he convicted me. I was a changed person. He just gave me new life. In fact, when the plane landed back in Hawaii, Rosemary met me at the plane, and it was like, I was a different person. I couldn't stop talking about God. I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. I wanted to go to prayer meetings. I wanted to go to church every day. It was really awesome. I just, it's hard to explain, but the Lord just touched me and he convicted me, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, I'm not a real heavy Bible reader, but it doesn't make any difference. He loves me, and he just took me, and I had nothing to do with it except just go for the ride, you know. It was just wonderful.
Tim, let's take a few steps.
Okay.
Maybe a bunch of steps back. This is a moment, okay. 1994, mm-hmm. You at Anaheim, there at Anaheim Stadium, California,
mm-hmm.
You go forward. Let's go back. How did your dreams of a career in music stop,
well,
as you say, in a bottle?
Okay, well, I started to sing when I was very young. And my
Your mother sang, right?
What's that?
Your mother sang too, right?
Yes, my mother sang, and I started to sing with a voice, soprano voice, you know. And my mother, she noticed that, and she said, listen, we're going to give you singing lessons. So I studied private singing lessons for a whole bunch of years, and that's how I got into singing. And then I started to play in, you know, the ukulele, and then when I went into the military, I played trumpet, you know. I sang in the chorus and stuff like that. And that was some of my musical careers. But, you know, I got to tell you this. All through my life, I felt inadequate, wasn't good enough. And that's what happened with my music. I didn't feel that I was good enough. And I studied opera. I studied classical music. And I got good enough to where I could play the ukulele and sing at Waikiki. So I played a couple shows down in Waikiki. Of course, that was later, a little bit later on in my career. But that's how it went. And then and I was pampered and spoiled stuff, you know, the last one of 11 kids, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
how did alcoholism have a way of setting you back, alcoholism?
That's a good one. Alcoholism was in my family as far back as I can remember. My father was an alcoholic. All of my brothers was an alcoholic. I'm going to go back to talking about feeling inadequate. I had trouble reading at the time, at school, you know, and I felt very, very inadequate. And when I drank alcohol, it made me feel like somebody else, that I wasn't or whoever I wanted to be. And I got addicted to it. And I drank all through my service life, 5 years into service. It just consumed me. And even it affected my marriage. I got married after I got out of the service, married for 9 years, 2 daughters and a son. And alcoholism just took me over. And after 9 years, I abandoned my family and I left them. And I just lived a life of alcoholism for 10 years. So, you know, what was happening to me is the guilt that I felt, the remorse, and the anger of, I tried to get back to my family and I couldn't, and I got angry, and the more angry I got, the more I drank, and I drank heavy. And also, I was just a beer alcoholic. I drank a lot of it. And I was drunk 24/7 for 10 years, Danny. You know, and I got into a lot of all kinds of stuff, you know, it's perverted stuff and things that I don't even want to mention here, you know, it was a tough time in my life.
And then, Tim, as you share about this tough time, this spiraling out, really a spiraling out of control for not 1 year, but nearly a decade, losing everything that's valuable to you and even your own esteem. You relate with someone today who's listening. Tim, I'm grateful that you share this. And when we come back from our break, we'll talk about how the Lord has upheld you even in the midst of those moments and brought you to the place where you are today. As you're listening to Tim Correa, Tim, as he joins us from North Carolina, I'm here in Boston, and of course, we're connected there. My producer, Chaz Ontai, in Honolulu. We're joining you today, dear friend, because God is a God of great mercy, grace, and in that mercy and grace, there's restoration. You can tell Tim articulates well his life has, he's been a recipient of the marvelous tenderness of God, and we're here to share that with you. As we go into our break now, I want you to put yourself in the place of Tim Correa. Imagine the feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, and shame. You might even have felt tinges of that in your life. Maybe you're sailing well now and things are going great. To God be the glory. But maybe you're stuck. He's here to remind you there is hope. There is hope in Jesus. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 844-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Oh, if you ever felt like, you're ashamed to mention it, you're ashamed even to think about it. Oh, could you imagine if people knew what you thought, or if people knew what you did in secret, how would that impact those closest to you? How would that impact those who, how would that impact your reputation? Well, in the midst of moments like these, as that I just described, let me just say that you're not alone. Anyone, if they're honest with themselves, knows that there are thoughts that we have, things that we think of, even things that we do or have done, that we would be ashamed to have done it. But thanks be to God, there is renewal in Jesus Christ. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. My guest today, Tim Correa, joining us. I'm grateful that he's with us, and I'm grateful that you're with us. You're in for a real treat, a real blessing from the Lord. You can get this program in its entirety. Maybe you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment. You get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. We've got resources there, other programs like these, but this one from Tim Correa at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Tim, so you're at a very low moment as a result of alcoholism. How did you move forward from that point in your life?
Well, I got to be pretty crazy in my alcoholism, and I did some real crazy stuff. And I believe that the Holy Spirit was with me the whole time, because in 1982, I decided to go to AA, and I went to AA. I went there for I went every day for about 90 days, and I went on, got drunk again. But then I came back, and in April of 82, I took my last drink, April 16th in 82. And when I was in Boston at the time. I was kind of a geographical drunk, traveled all over, running. And then I went back to Hawaii after that, and I met my AA friends at the airport. And they took me in and put me in a cocoon and took care of me. Then I decided to go into treatment. And I went to Hinamauka up in Kaneohe, and I went for 4 months of treatment there. And then my last drink was in April of 82. But it was hard coming back. I mean, it's the first few years of sobriety is really tough. the devil plays a bunch of tricks on you, and he's always on your shoulder. He's always telling you, hey, you know what? It wasn't that bad. You've been sober for 5 years. A couple of beers ain't going to hurt you. You know, and I kept fighting this and fighting this. And I stayed sober on just guts and fear, you know, until I went to Anaheim. And then when the Lord convicted me there, that spirit kind of went away about the first drink and stuff like that, you know. But I can remember about 10 years ago, I was flying back to Hawaii, and the stewardess had a bottle of beer walking down the the hall, you know, in the airplane. And just for a split second, I said, you know, I'm at 30,000 feet. Who would ever know? And I said, you better shut up. You know, you better just straighten out. And it left me, and I continued on, you know. So that's the there are a lot of low moments that I had and a lot of stuff that's really graphic, and I don't know if I get into that. Mm-hmm. You know, but you got to reach a bottom. We have a saying, you know, when you're flat on your back, there's only one way to look, and that's straight up to the Lord.
A word of encouragement, Tim, to somebody, a word of hope to somebody today who is on their way to being flat on their back. They may or may not be there right now, but they know if they keep going in the direction that they're going, things are going to get really, really rough. A word of hope today.
I see people die, you know. I see people kill themselves. I see them go out and get stabbed. And, you know, it's really bad. One guy was sober for like 15 years. You know, he went out and got drunk again. What it is, it's progressive. You know, if you're sober for 20 years and you go back out and drink, you're going to start where you left off, and your body won't be able to handle it. It'll kill you. That's how serious this stuff is. Yeah.
You received a gift on your 50th birthday that related to flying.
Yes, I did.
What was it?
Yes, I did. When I was early on, when I was married to my first wife, I wanted to fly, and I went to take flying lessons, but I failed the test. I couldn't pass the test. So when I was 50 years old, and of course I was, you know, divorced already, but one of my friends gave me a gift certificate for a one-hour flight instruction. And I put that envelope on my dresser, and I left it there, and Rosemary said, when are you going to take the flight? I was scared because I failed the first time. Another failure in my life, you know what I'm saying? So finally I said, okay, well, I'm going to take the flight. So I went down there. And we did the pre-flight around the airplane, and I was going to get in the plane at the co-pilot side. And he says, no, you go sit in the pilot seat. You're going to fly. And I said, wow, great. So I got in the plane, and Danny, when I looked at the cockpit, I looked at the instrument panel, I knew exactly where I was. And when that plane left the ground, I made a decision. I said, I am going to go for it. I'm going to go for it again. I'm going to study it. Trying to get my pilot's license. Well, I studied for 1 year, Danny. 1 year, every night. And 70 would pass it, okay? And when the envelope, there was no computers back then. When the envelope came from the FAA, I didn't want to look into it because I swore I'd blow it, I failed it again. You know, so finally Rosemary said, why don't you look at it? So I opened the envelope very slowly, and my score was 70. Now, I'm here to tell you and everybody that's listening to me today, when I saw 70, the doors of confidence flew wide open. Wide open, and I could do anything. I was so consumed with what this accomplished that I made that I've always wanted to fly that it was awesome. You know what I mean? And I went on, and I got my license, and we bought a little plane, and me and Rosemary enjoyed it for 10 years, flying all over Hawaii, and had a great time. That's great. Yeah.
Did God speak to you through moment?
Yes.
How?
Yes. I praise God. I thank him for for giving me the opportunity to rebuild my confidence back. You know what I mean? It's like, but you know, Danny, it wasn't like I am now. Even after I went through the Promise Keepers and I came back and I was on fire for the Lord, I kind of slipped back. I kind of slid back a little bit, you know. And when we moved to North Carolina, I brought my little plane with me, by the way. And, you know, we started going to church here. We went to some Pentecostal churches and stuff like that. But now it's different than it was then. I mean, you know, the God, he beckons you, and he had his hand on me the whole time, no matter how I felt or how much I wanted to fight or whatever. He was there guiding me through my whole life. In retrospect, looking back at it now, I know that he was with me. You know, he guided me through all of this. And it was necessary for me to go through what I went through for me to be here today talking about God. Yeah. Mm. It's just great.
Sometimes people say, Tim, they say, you know, if only I had a testimony, I'd speak more about God. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to kind of conjure up what we want our testimony to be, what we want that quote unquote narrative to be. And yet we already have a narrative, but I think the marvel of God's testimony in our lives is that he takes not just our successes, he takes our failures. And he writes the story through the pitfalls of our life. And in addition to the successes, and maybe it adds that much more to the success when we take into account all the struggles.
What was that again?
Yeah. When we come back, yeah, I was just saying that, you know, there are times when a lot of the successes, when we consider a lot of our failures in light of the success, it adds so much more to the value of what God has done in and through us because
absolutely,
of what we've been through.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, he's with me all the way, you know, and I'm with him all the way now.
He's been with you and Rosemarie, even in North Carolina. And so when we come back, by the way, we have listeners in North Carolina. When we come back from our break, listeners actually from all across the United States, even other many nations of the world. When we come back, Tim, let's talk about the move. How did God, you know, why did you move from Hawaii to North Carolina? And where in North Carolina are you? Let's begin with that. Hey, you're listening to Tim Correa, and we're enjoying this time together. Of course, Tim is being so gracious to share not just the good stuff in life, but the very painful things. And you kind of get an idea of how painful things have been when there's a certain level of discretion that he exercises in holding back on some things that were pretty, pretty rough. I think that's enough for us to know that they were pretty, pretty rough. Are things pretty, pretty rough for you? Would you say, Danny, to call my life circumstance right now a bump in the road, that's an understatement. It's more like a barrier that's there, or a barrier that's even on the inside. A loss of confidence that needs to be restored. Well, there's hope for you. Listen to Tim Correa when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com?
There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
When there's a transition that takes place in life, you know, when there's a move, let's say you need to make a move or you choose to make a move, perhaps there are circumstances in life where you have to move, seemingly outside of your control. It's wonderful to know that even when you move, the Lord God doesn't lag behind. He goes with you, or we might even say, according to Scripture, He goes before you. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Tim Correa with me in North Carolina. I'm here in Boston, and we're connected there at our precious Salem Media of Honolulu with Chaz on Thai. Find out more about our program. You can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Tim Correa, why did you move to North Carolina from Hawaii?
Well, we had a furniture business in Hawaii, Kaneohe, and I got involved with an airline business, and I got in deeper than I should have, and it was kind of a failed business proposition. So we decided to move because we wouldn't have been able to make it in Hawaii. So we decided we didn't want to go to New York, where my wife is from. We don't want to go to Florida. We don't want to go to California. So we came to North Carolina and found a little town that we really liked, and we made a decision to move. And it was all God thing. You know, the person that we bought the land from that we built our house on was with Christians. And, you know, it was just the things just fell into place. And we moved to North Carolina. And probably the best move I made.
Did you start some new businesses there?
You know what?
Did you start some new businesses there?
Yes, I went back into the furniture business and cabinet making. I did that for 10 years. And then lumber got pretty heavy for me, so I went into my old trade when I was in the military, which is weapons. I became a gunsmith. I went back to school and got my certificate to be a gunsmith, and I'm a federal firearms dealer and manufacturer now. And so, you know, things were going pretty good. And And then something happened.
Okay, explain what gunsmithing is.
Well, I do repairs on weapons, on rifles and pistols and stuff like that. And then the last 2 years, I got into machine guns that people collect. And I built the machine guns for people who are registered and licensed to have them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been doing, you know. And it was pretty nice, really great.
What are some things that people would use a machine gun for?
Well, there's a lot of people that collect them for nostalgia. I have one. I love to shoot it, but I shoot it safely, by the way. And I built these things in the military, and it's kind of you might say an obsession with them. And I love the guns, and I have a lot of friends that feel the same way. And we're responsible people. We're not crazy people with guns, you know. So, but Danny, I want to get into what happened to me now, okay? Because time's going to be running out. You mind?
Yes. What happened? What happened on November 4th, 2016?
This is where I'm going. I went to get a physical with the VA in October. And they contacted me, and they wanted me to go get a colonoscopy on the 2nd of November. And I went and got the colonoscopy. Rosemary was in Hawaii. And a friend of mine took me down there and brought me back afterwards. By the way, I was 77 years old, and it was clear. So I was all happy. So when I came home, I laid down on the couch, and Danny, I laid there for a day and a half dehydrating. And just out of it. I couldn't, I don't know. I just went out. And the next thing I remember is my friend pounding on the door. And he came in and he found me on my couch. Pretty bad shape. I was incoherent. I vaguely remember that he even came here. And he took me home to his house. And then he was talking to Rosemary. Rosemary said, get him to hospital. So I went to a regional hospital here. And they checked me over, and the doctor said, I can't do anything for you here. I have to send you down to Charlotte Medical Center because there's something really wrong here. So they rushed me via ambulance, which is about 30 miles away, at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I hardly remember anything. I remember the guy in the ambulance asking me a bunch of questions, stuff like that. But when I got to the hospital, they took me up to in the intensive care ward up in the top, way on top of the hospital. And this doctor came, and I looked at the doctor, and he looked at me, and I knew something was wrong. And I'm laying there with all these wires and hoses and stuff, and people are talking around me, and they're making all kinds of noise. And I remember the doctor said, we need a bone marrow biopsy, and we need to get the Red Cross here with a blood dialysis machine. This man needs a transfusion immediately. And that's all I remember. Then he told me that I had leukemia. And when he said I had leukemia, I got up on my feet, but my body didn't get up. Okay, I was standing there looking out at a call it a void, but it wasn't a void. It wasn't anything. It was nothing out there. It was just nothing. And it was not even space. It was no end, no height, no width, no color, no nothing. It was just, then it got real, real quiet and peaceful and really tranquil. I felt very calm, and then I looked up to my left, and I seen this red thing up there. It looked like a panic button that you would press on a machine to shut it down in case of an emergency. And in my mind, that signified my death. I was going to die. And I said, and I remember these things very vividly today as much as I did that night. And I looked up and I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And then I looked out at this board and it started to move. And it came at me in supersonic speed, okay? And it hit me. It's like it went right through me, but only half of my body it hit. The right half, it went through me. The left half, it didn't even touch me. And this is really, and then it got real quiet and real calm again and peaceful. And then off to my left, it was like a grayish, misty, silverish, cloudy thing. And all of a sudden, it came in and hit me right at my heart. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit that hit me right there. And I believe that that void that hit me was the breath of the Holy Spirit. And then he said to me, he talked to me, but it wasn't in a voice. It was no audible. It was no language. It was just, it was a spirit voice that said to me, he called me by name. He said, Tim, I'm not ready to take you home yet. I have a mission for you. And I said, well, you know, what's the mission? He says, I want you to go out and talk to every man that you can possibly talk to about God. Bring him closer to the Lord. I said, well, how am I going to do that? He said, I'll reveal more to you as time goes by. And then the next thing I knew, Danny, is I woke up in my room down in 2-3 days later. The people all around me, my wife and friends and stuff, and I couldn't stop telling them what the Holy Spirit said to me. And by the way, it said, I'm going to give you 5 more minutes. Okay? 5 more minutes. I remember that. 5 more minutes. And I was talking to everybody around in the whole hospital about what happened to me. The nurses, the doctors, my wife, my friends. I could not stop talking about God and about what the Holy Spirit said to me, about men, about bringing men closer to the Lord, you know. Mm. And then people started coming, visiting and stuff like that. And about 3 days later, the Lord said, call your son. Okay. Now my son and I have been at odds for 45 years. Okay. I tried to call him. I tried to reconcile with him. No way. He would not return my call. 45 years. I called his number and I said, Danny, his name is Danny also. I said, Danny, this is your father calling. There's only one thing. I said, by the time you hear me today, you probably heard what happened today. I said, there's only one thing I want before I go, and that's for you to forgive me for being such a rotten dad. And I hung the phone up. 2 weeks later, and by this time I was out of the hospital. I went to my church. I was talking to the men in the church. I made appointments with guys, and I just couldn't stop talking about it. 2 weeks later, I would get chemotherapy in the infusion center here in Charlotte, and my son calls me on the phone. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and I told him, I said, I can't believe it's you. I said, did you get my message? He says, yes. He says, I've forgiven you a long time ago. And before that conversation was ended, my son says, I'm going to come to see you. And he drove from California all the way to North Carolina to come and see me. Hmm. The weekend that he came to see me, when he came and drove up my driveway, we embraced, and nothing was said about the past or anything like that. We just kind of talked man to man, talked about our lives, stuff like that. And so happened that weekend, I had made an appointment with the men in my church to share my story with them. And I asked him if he would like to come to church with us that Sunday. He said, oh, yeah. So we went to church, and after church, I shared my story. He came and sat there I shared my story with the guys, and as I was getting finished, my son gets up and walks up to the front. And he says to the guys, he says, listen, fellas, he says, I'm a retired police officer. I don't go to church. I believe in God. I just want you folks to know something. He says, I want you to know that I have forgiven my father. Now, Danny, with that, he turns to me and he says, Dad, I love you. That the first time I heard the word dad come out of my children's mouth in 45 years. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what else is. This is the blessing that God gives me. And he's continued to bless me. A couple of months later, my daughters came. They came to see me. My grandchildren came to see me. And I mean, it was just one thing, one family after another coming to see me, one family member after another. And then a couple of months into it, my doctor said, hey, you know what? I think you're going into remission. I said, I'm going to Hawaii. So I called Sylvia, my sister, and I said, Sylvia, I'm coming home. And prior to that, I told her I was going to go home in a box. So she said, that's wonderful. And I got to step back just a little bit. 20 years ago, I told my wife, Rosemary, I have this vision of a big white tent and a revival. And then nobody paid any attention to me. Well, when I went back to Hawaii the next morning, when I got up, there was two of my nephews that was out putting up big white tents. And my sister Sylvia said, I want you to share your story with your family. And what happened 2 days before I left for Hawaii, I opened my Bible at random, and I went to 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, and it talks about reconciliation with God. And God wants to reconcile with us, and we need to reconcile with the Lord. And how you do that is you ask Jesus to forgive you and have him come into your heart as your personal Savior. I shared that with my family that day in Hawaii, and I seen my family transformed right before my eyes. The miracle was there. It was unbelievable, Dad. And these things happened one after another. After I came back, I had an opportunity to go to California to visit my kids. We went in June, and June 8th is my birthday. The night my son's daughter graduated from high school. The 17th, my grandson got married, and the 18th was Father's Day, and we had a great big party. Can you imagine that? After 45 years, my son and I are together as father and son, just like nothing ever happened. That's miracles that happen. I mean, that's like, and it's continuing to happen, one after another, one after another. He has blessed me so much. My death is immaterial. My death is a gift from the Lord, because I'm ready to go home. I had faith with it. Yeah, I'm ready. In fact, when the doctor told me I was going into remission, I was a little disappointed. So this is the way it's been going on, you know. And 5 more minutes, he gave me 5 more minutes to get my stuff in order, to take care of my get rid of all my tools and all my gun stuff, not because I didn't want Rosemary to have to deal with all of that stuff, and it's all taken care of. You know, she's going to be okay when I'm gone.
So, well, life.
You know, I've been really blessed.
Death in life sometimes brings us into a whole new perspective in such a profound way. When we come back from our break, more in our final segment with Tim Correa. What a blessing to hear his story. I would imagine he would consider this life as living a dream. And when we come back, more from him, and maybe a time of prayer, a time of prayer. Prayer and encouragement from a man who has been reconciled with his family, reconciled with his son. What a powerful story. Son reconciled with his family. children, his grandchildren. After 45 years, who would have ever imagined he gives all glory to God? Why? Because there is always hope in Jesus. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Yes, yes, indeed. Welcome back to our show. Find out about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this program in its entirety. It's a gift to you. God bless you, dear friend. Tim, Sylvia's prayers. Your sister prayed for you. How impactful was that?
Well, Sylvia's been an angel all as far back as I know. You know, when I was in my darkest day, Sylvia always knew where I was. And Sylvia is a real prayer warrior. She really is.
Well, let's close with a time of prayer. Would you pray for someone right now who's maybe on the bottom looking up? Someone that needs a word of encouragement? Please pray for them.
Yes, I would. Yes. Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you for being our Father, Lord. We just thank you for guiding us and all through our lives, Lord. Thank you for being there. Lord, I want to lift up a special friend of mine, Lord, a veteran friend of mine, Lord, named Chris Covington. He's having a hard time with his leukemia. He's going into a bone marrow transplant through the VA next month or beginning of the year, Lord. Lord, just keep your hedge of protection around him and guide him and keep him safe, Lord, and give him a positive attitude in his life, Lord, and just bring him through this thing because he can be a witness to you too, Lord. Lord, we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
And Lord, I pray for our dear friends who are listening today, a dear one right now who is his or her back against the wall or on the bottom, on the ground, looking up, as Tim Correa had mentioned, even as he's experienced. And the hope that he's found in you Oh, Lord God, I ask that you would intervene in their lives, in this dear person's life right now, a loved one, a friend, that as they hear these words and they say, how can I experience the love of God like Tim Correa has? Is there a sister like Sylvia who would pray for me? Well, let them know that we are praying for them and that you are orchestrating all of this for their redemption to be found in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray blessing over them, strength, renewal, and hope, that they will be drawn closer and closer to Christ and surrender their life to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Tim, and I thank you for our time together today. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Tim, thank you. Thank you. Heartfelt words from Tim Correa. God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Tim Correa. Until next time, along with Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.